with you. Can you hear me now? And I just want to thank so many of you who have been sending me emails and notes of your appreciation. I have to be honest, I don't think I even anticipated the impact that this series would have on people. And I pray as we get now into the more practical areas of hearing from God that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to open our hearts and our eyes to see the way that He wants us to go, that we would hear His voice so that we will follow Him. Because more than anything else, God wants us to hear His voice. And if this is the first time you have ever heard that, let me say it again over the motorcycles on the Pat Bay. God wants to speak to you. Young and old, rich and poor, male and female, no matter where you're at in life, God wants to speak to you. And we shared with you in the first two sessions of this series, not only that God wants to speak, but the reasons why He wants to speak to us. Because we are His children, the sheep of His pasture, and His sheep will hear and follow His voice. The Father loves you, and He wants you to follow Him. And it all comes as we learn to recognize the voice of Father God. Today we're going to begin, and over the next couple weeks as we continue, I want to look at the question, how does God still speak to His children? Now, just going back a few weeks to the beginning of your series, I gave you some homework, and each week in the communique, I will have further work for you to do to help you apply what we are teaching to your life. And in our very first week, I shared with you the importance of and challenging you to find a place where you can be alone, a time where you know that you will not be bothered or interrupted, a place and a time where you can just be quiet and wait on God. Then I also invited you to get a notebook, whether it's a physical notebook where you're writing with your pen in hand or an electronic notebook on your iPad or phone, but something where you can write down what you're feeling God is saying to you. And I have to be honest, as I was that first time, journaling has always been a difficult thing for me to practice. Not that it's hard, but it's the consistency of doing it, and this series has really taught me and challenged me again what it means to. So I've gotten a notebook, and I've gotten a pen, and I have begun to journal what I believe God is saying to me. And I was talking with George. George, I told you I was going to pick on you. George, are you able to come down, or did you want me to come up there? Okay, everyone can hear you anyway. Can everyone hear George? Okay, George, he really blessed me with how God has used journaling in his life as a follower. So George, I'm just going to let you share for a couple minutes. Okay, thank you, George. Now, let me just stop here. I just want to take some time, and because we've got several minutes here, and I think it's good to do this. But maybe during this time, or maybe this has already been a practice for you, and this isn't anything new, it's really old hat, or maybe it is brand new, and you've been getting these wow moments in your times with God. But would there be anyone here today, and you'd be willing just to share for a moment what you have been experiencing in your time with God and what God has been saying to you? Renell, here, I'm going to come and bring the mic over to you, sister. Okay.
It's just more than one time, but this one time we were just sitting at home, and the Lord spoke to me. Go, I'm just using another name now. Go and speak to Mrs. Joan. Lead her to the Lord today. Or he didn't say today, but lead her. And I mentioned that to Robert, and he said, go. He says, yeah, I will. And he says, well, go now before you forget it, or, you know. And the next day, I did go, and I started to talk to her. She was in the home. Senior home in Oak Bay. And anyway, I started to talk and chat a little bit with her, and how do you like it here, and everything is so good. And I said, would you, and it came into the spiritual, and I says, I just wanted to talk about the Lord to you. I said, would you leave here? Would you know for sure that you are going to heaven to meet the Lord? Because I knew she was at the end. And she said, I hope so. Would you like to know so? I said. She says, yeah. And here we started. I started to pray, and then I asked her to pray with me. And I'm telling you, she said much more words to the Lord than even I asked her to. And I praise God for it. And then we took off on a 2 months missionary trip or evangelistic trip. When I came back, she had gone to heaven. Had I missed that before we left, I don't know what would have happened. So it's good when God hears. Do it now when he hears, when he talks.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yes. I may or may not get to preaching today.
Just talk into it?
Yep.
I've been wanting to share this story for a while. I moved here a year ago on the 26th of June. Mm-hmm. No, May, sorry. And I live right across from you, by the way, which I didn't know. So anyway, I was new and I needed something from Canadian Tire. So I put Canadian Tire in my GPS, and somehow I got mixed up at that roundabout. And so I'm driving, and all of a sudden, my GPS says, you have arrived at your destination, and I'm right here in front of the church. it was the McDonald Park Road, which is Canadian Tire also. And then, so I got out, actually, and I don't know if you remember, you and Sue were outside, and I said, are you the pastor? And so that was, God. I don't know if the GPS said it to me, I think it was God. He told me this was my destination, so it's kind of funny, but anyway, okay. I wanted to share that.
Okay, I think maybe I have an additional point to my message today. God speaks through the GPS. All right, okay, well, listen. Oh, did I miss something? I'm sorry, Einar. Okay.
Sometimes we keep praying about things, and it doesn't always seem that God is listening. I've often experienced that you pray, and it almost seems to go the other way. So one morning I was reading the Bible, and I was reading about how how God brought the Jewish people back to their land. And I put the Bible aside, and I felt really hopeless. And then, if I had heard a voice or not, it wouldn't have made any difference. God said to me, "What were you just reading about?" So I read this. "Don't you think that if I can bring a people back that have been spread across the globe for 2,000 years, that I can take care of a single person?" So if you have someone, which I think we all do, don't ever stop asking, praying, God will bring that person back again.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just going to... Okay. Hi, Sheena. How are you? You're going to preach for us this morning? She's a great preacher, by the way. Sheena, just share with us.
Okay, so I've been, I fast quite a bit, and I was taught to do that by my Nana, who used to come to this church, and my mom. And when I do that, I do the journaling as well. And I make sure that I take the time to spend with him. And I make sure I have my notebook and my pen. And I always sit and I wait to hear from him, because he's always got something really good to say. You know, he's always encourages you. He encourages you in your walk. He encourages you with everything that you're doing, you know, and he'll pour out his love upon you too when you do all of this. But it's just so important to me to hear from him on a daily basis. And you have to put that time aside just to sit, even if it's for 5 minutes. I have a pretty busy life. I got kids and dogs and everything else, but it's so important to spend that time. And you know, when you have your book, it's like faith, and I've been teaching grace in that too. You get out your notebook when you pray, and he will speak to you and write it down. And he's been encouraging Grayson as well with journaling. So it's huge, and it's so lovely. You read it back, and I read them back quite a few times what he's told me. Like, he told me stuff about my mom, and it's just, and even you guys, you know, and it's like, and it, but it's so good to just let the God of heaven and earth just come down and spend time with you. Amen. And speak to you, speak to your heart. My goodness, we're so privileged, you know.
Amen.
Whew, okay.
Ah, praise the Lord. Go for it. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for that, George. So many of us are praying for loved ones, for sons and daughters and spouses who once knew the Lord, once were on fire for God, but that fire has dissipated. And could we do something right now, just before we get into the Word? Could we stand together? And if you have someone in your life, in your family, that is away from God right now, you just heard a testimony, take the word of faith right now, my brother and sister, and let's speak Jesus over that child right now. Would you do that right now? In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. God, we speak Jesus over our sons and daughters. We speak, Lord, Jesus over our husbands, our wives, our relatives, God, who once knew you, who are on fire for you. Lord, we just heard a powerful testimony of how faithful you are. And Lord, you are able to do it in each and every life here. You're able to do it in my family, in the family of my brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just speak Jesus over each and every one of these, that they will return to you. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Well, listen, as we continue on, as I said, the title of my message is simply this: God, is that you? Is that you, God? And I read this story earlier this week. It's a true story out of Los Angeles. In March of 1991, the Los Angeles Times contained a story about a man by the name of Bob Haefele. It was estimated that he spent a total of 2,500 hours over a period of 5 years hard at work on a very strange project. You see, Bob Haefele spent all that time gluing together 65,000 toothpicks. He meticulously arranged them until they gradually took the form of a life-size Jesus. The toothpick replica of the Lord hung from a wire in his garage against a black backstop illuminated by a spotlight. Now, why do you suppose Bob Haefele, a humble water department supervisor and non-artist, started collecting toothpicks and invited the ridicule of his neighbors? God told me to do it, he said. God told me to do it. According to Bob, God spoke to him one day while he was driving his car to the plant and personally commissioned him to do the work. Not only that, apparently the Lord showed him in detail exactly how to arrange the toothpicks in order to get the hair just right after years of indecision. I wish someone would have a word from God to put my hair in place. Now, did God really tell Bob Haefele to glue those toothpicks together? Honestly, I don't know. I suppose time and eternity will bear out the facts. But how does God speak? Job 33, verse 14 says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." And I would dare say that's probably where most people are. Oh, they hear the stories of God speaking. And you've heard the stories and testimonies this morning, and perhaps you're here wondering, well, that's well and good for George and Einar and Sheena, but God's not going to speak to me. I mean, why would he be interested in little old me? But one thing I know, God does speak. And he speaks to us in different ways. The question is not, does God speak? We've answered the question, why God speaks. The question that we need to answer at the end of the day is whether or not we're listening to what he's saying. Pastor Sue read our passage this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Allow me to read again those verses starting at verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." God was speaking to young Samuel. It's fascinating to note that the elder high priest, while he knew of the Lord, he knew the word, but he himself did not recognize that it was God. It took him a moment or two to realize, but it was to Samuel, a young man. In your Sunday school quarterlies, you probably saw pictures of Samuel as a young child, maybe 10 or 12 years of age. It's quite possible he may have been in his teens. We do know he was a young man. And folk, I want us to be reminded. I want every young adult here, I want every young person to know that you are never too young to hear God's voice. You are never too young to hear him speak. You are never too young to walk in the presence of God. And to every mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, I say the same thing. Your days of vision are not over. I believe God has a word for someone here today. And that word is, he's not finished with you. The vision, the dreams that he has given you in your youth, he will fulfill. You will see it. God is saying to you, do not give up. God is still speaking. So how does he speak? Well, as we turn to the Word of God, we see that there are so many ways that God reveals himself. Let's look at 5 or 6 ways in which God speaks to his people. Number one, we see how he speaks audibly. This is how he spoke to Samuel, calling out his voice by name. Aren't you excited to think that God knows your name? He doesn't say from heaven, "Hey, you." Yeah, you, with the almost full head of hair and beard and glasses. No, he says, Pete Buttendyke, my child, my son. He knows us by name, George. He knows us by name. Isn't that exciting to think about? He knows us. He speaks to us. Saul, who later became Paul, was on a journey to wipe out the church. He had papers in his pocket ready to arrest anyone who was a believer in Jesus. And on the road to Damascus, we read in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, as Saul was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Throughout the Bible and even church history, we read of many men and women who have heard God's audible voice. Now, while this has never happened to me, there have been times when God's voice has been so clear to me, it seemed it may have been audible. God also speaks through angels. Yes, I believe angels are real. The word angel comes from the word angelos, and it simply means messenger or messenger of God. Angels brings us messages from God. And we see throughout the Old and the New Testament how God spoke to men and women. He spoke and called to Abraham, Lot. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Moses saw the angel of the Lord in the fire. Balaam was stopped by an angel. Gideon was visited by the angel of the Lord. Samson's mother and father were visited by an angel. David, Elijah, Mary, and Joseph, the shepherds. Folk, the Bible is full of examples where people had encounters with angels. In Matthew's gospel, we are told of how God protected Jesus and his family from the tyrannical King Herod's plot to destroy God's Messiah. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, we read of an angel of the Lord who appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother." And the angel said, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." One of my favorite examples from the book of Acts takes place in the life of Philip the evangelist, who was preaching in a city in Samaria. He was experiencing a great move of God where crowds listened intently to him, and because they were eager to hear Philip's message and see the miraculous signs he did, many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Man, how many would long to have a church service like that? How many would love to see God move like that every single week? And then something happened. Does Philip build a mega church? Does he start a worldwide TV ministry? No. We read, the angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Here he is, preaching in a city filled with people, and these people are turning to Jesus in droves. God's power is at work. And what does God say through the angel? I want you to get up and I want you to go down to the middle of nowhere where there's no people. Hold it. I have to be honest with you. There are many of us, myself included, if I got a message from that, I would begin to doubt, could this really be God? I mean, look at the success he's having. He's got a worship team that is the envy of every church in the city. He's got everything going. And now God says, go down to the middle of nowhere? It didn't make sense. It doesn't sound logical. But he obeys. He obeys. And as he makes his way, he sees a chariot in the distance. And in the chariot is an Ethiopian eunuch, an emissary who was representing the government going to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. He rushes, the Lord tells him to go there and speak to this gentleman. And there he finds this man reading the book of the prophet Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 53. And he asks Philip, who is the prophet talking about, himself or some other man? And then Philip told the man about Jesus. And the result was this Ethiopian eunuch accepts Christ into his life. He is baptized in water. He returns to Ethiopia where he tells others about Jesus. And the gospel is first introduced to Africa. My friends, I've learned this in my own life. There are times when God is going to direct you to do something that doesn't make sense. It seems out of the norm. I'm not saying it's weird. God never calls us to do anything weird or that brings dishonor to his name, but it may seem illogical, irrational. It doesn't make sense. But God says to us, go to that place where you don't think God is moving at all. But when we are obedient, when we have that nudge in our spirit to go and speak to that woman in that senior's home, and we ask them the question and they say, yes, I'll accept Jesus. My friends, we don't know how God is going to open other doors because of your obedience. And it may seem that nothing else is happening around you, but when you are walking by faith in obedience to his word, then he causes miracles to happen that we've never even thought of. There are also historical accounts of angels coming to speak God's message to men and women. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. One night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out Patton's and killing them. Patton and his wife prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. And when daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept them from burning down the house and killing them. And the chief replied, "Who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew no one else was present. But the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shiny garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. The Bible reminds us to take care that we may actually be entertaining angels unawares. He does speak. He speaks through extraordinary miracles. I think of Moses and the burning bush, Balaam and the donkey, Daniel and Belshazzar and the writing on the wall, and who can forget Gideon and his fleece? Yes, God speaks through extraordinary miracles. but something I want us to be very careful of. Quite often we get stuck and discouraged when God does not speak to us in these extraordinary ways. We're waiting for him to speak audibly. We're waiting for the angel. We're waiting for that fleece to be covered in dew. We are waiting for that handwriting on the wall to appear, and we miss the ordinary ways in which God is speaking to us each and every moment of the day. When God speaks, did you know that he also speaks through dreams and visions? How many remember in Genesis, Joseph, who had two dreams in his life? He saw a dream as a young man of the future that God had for him, where he would be a leader among his family, a dream that he was probably better off not telling his brothers. He also had an interpretation. God gave him an interpretation of a dream that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh, a heathen, pagan, idol worshiper, yet had a dream. And you'll remember that dream. It was twofold. He saw a dream of 7 years of health, healthy animals, followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph replied to him, God is showing you what's going to happen in the future. In the New Testament, God spoke to the Magi in Matthew chapter 2 to not inform Herod that they had found the Christ child, but to leave by another route. And then on the day of Pentecost, I can't wait till next Sunday. I cannot wait till next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. It's going to be a powerful day in this house. I'm believing God. Amen. And on that day, following the Lord's instructions to wait in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit, as promised, filled all those in that place, they all began to speak in languages known and unknown. And when the question was asked, what does this mean? And Peter gets up to preach. And his text was from the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. My friend, from that day till now, and when Jesus comes, he is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, men and women, young and old, and he's giving them the anointing to preach, to prophesy, to dream, to see visions. I'm at that place in my life of old men, but I'm still dreaming dreams. I just pray, Lord, let it not be the excessive rhubarb I ate last night. He says, I will pour out my spirit. My friends, he wants to pour out his spirit on you. He wants to pour out his spirit. He wants to give you a dream. He wants to give you a vision. He wants you to go and prophesy in his name, to proclaim the gospel in his name under the power of the Holy Spirit. In these days, he's still giving dreams and visions. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you one experience that I had where God gave me a vision. I'm sitting on a church stoop, expecting fully that God was going to lead me to be the pastor of this church, and he gave me a vision of a future church building that this church would erect. I was absolutely blown away when I got the call saying that I would not be their pastor. I asked God, then what did that dream mean? He never said a thing. A year or so later, my mother called us at camp at her trailer and said, I'm coming down to camp and I have someone I want to introduce to you. My dad had passed away about 5 years previous, and Mom had met somebody else in church. And he was a fine gentleman, a Canadian veteran with the Air Force, a mechanic, a great, wonderful man of God. I knew both he and his first wife in a church that we pastored. And I was so happy for my mom. And I said, well, this is awesome. What's happening? Well, I said, how long have you been going together? Oh, about 6 months. I said, well, wonderful. What are your plans? Oh, we're getting married. When are you getting married? Next summer, and we want you to do the wedding. How do you say no to your mom? Mind you, it was weird. Conflict of interest. I wish I'd thought of that. Well, several months goes by, and we're planning the wedding, and we're going to have the rehearsal. And I said, and where are you going to have the wedding? And they said, well, we were going to have it at Calvary Temple, but we would like to have it at Bethel Pentecostal Church in Trenton, where I had been, where God had given me that vision. I said, great. Now, I had long forgotten about the vision God gave me. And I remember going to the church, and we had were preparing for the rehearsal, and the pastor had become a friend of mine. We had gone to Israel together. We shared a room together, and he called me into his office, and this was an old building. He called me into his office and says, Ralph, I want to show you something. I never said a word to him what I had seen, experienced 2 years before. He pulls out of a tube some blueprints, and they were plans for a brand new church building. I fell almost to the floor because it was the exact building that God had put in my heart through the Holy Spirit. I had the opportunity to preach in that building a year or so after it was built. And it is exactly what God had shown me. It happened. In his time and in his way. And when God shows us a vision, it's important to leave that with the Lord. He will fulfill it if it is God, in his way, in his time, so he gets the glory. Well, it doesn't finish there. Sometime later, we were in a church in Kingston. Sue and I were on staff at this church, and God had been doing marvelous things. We loved this church. We loved the city of Kingston. Our kids were doing so well in school and in church. And both Sue and I figured we were going to be there forever. And then God started making me feel that sense of things may change soon. And I remember getting a phone call from a church in the Ottawa area, a small church, a struggling church, and they were looking for a pastor. And I, you know what I said, the great man of faith? No. Well, they wouldn't give up. They called me again. And so I went for an interview. The interview went fine. I knew several of the people in the church already, but I really didn't think that, God, could you be moving me now? I mean, look, God, everything is going well. We have the best worship team ever. God, you're moving. We have a growing church. Lord, why would you? Lord, it wouldn't be your will to take me out of this, to go to the desert, the middle of nowhere. And I asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you to show me, to speak to me through the gifts of the Spirit, but in such a way and manner that it'll be unmistakably you. And I can't remember how long ago it was, but it was a Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit had been operating in just a powerful way. And as was the custom in our church, we separated into prayer circles to pray for one another. And in my group, there was a woman by the name of Peggy, and Peggy was our seniors leader. Here they call it Legacy Builders. Out there they called it Joy, just older youth. I don't know, maybe we should change names. I have no idea, Ted. And we're praying, and all of a sudden, you have to know that while Peggy was a wonderful Christian woman, a great woman of God, great woman of prayer, she was not given to anything charismatic, the gifts of the Spirit. That just wasn't Peggy. And all of a sudden, she starts laughing. I'm going, Peggy, what is so funny? And I'm looking down, making sure that my shoes are tied or something. But she kept laughing. And she says, Ralph, I just had this crazy image in my head. I said, well, tell me. Ralph, I saw you and Sue and your family with your car packed traveling east on the 401 to Ottawa. I left the room. Because I had to cry and say, oh God, I hear you. I will go. And folk, it wasn't an easy place. But we went in obedience and we saw God bring that small fledgling congregation to health and vitality. I don't know what God's saying to some of you today. Some of you, God is saying to wait. Some of you, God is saying now. Some of you, God is saying, I'm going to speak to you through people. You see, God will not just speak to us through dreams and visions and these other things. He will speak prophetically through people. And he'll do this two ways. Number one, through the preaching and teaching of God's word. How many of you have ever been in a service, as I have been, where it's been preached and you heard something just jumped right out at you and it was like God was putting fluorescent lights on a passage? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then there are times, and these are the times when God will speak most definitely. He will always, always, always speak through his word, as I'm going to share in a few weeks' time. But he also shares with us prophetically through the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to have more to say on this next Sunday as we talk about the prophetic gifts. But let me just read with you 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. Aren't you glad today that God hasn't stopped operating by his Spirit? He still operates in his gifts. Time won't allow me to delve into them. I'm going to do that next week. So stay tuned. But God speaks in the extraordinary and the miraculous. And he always also speaks through ordinary means to people by preaching, by the prophetic word, through dreams and visions. But there's one final way that God speaks. And it's the most common way of all. You want to know what it is? The still, small voice. 2 Kings 19, and I'm just going to read this and comment to it, and then we'll close in a time of prayer together. 2 Kings 19, verse 9, suddenly the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand in the mountain of the Lord's presence." At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God chose not to speak in the wind and the earthquake or the fire. He chose the soft, calming whisper. Some of you, you've gone through some storms. It's challenged your faith. You just want to silence the noise. And God is saying, so do I. It's time to be still and hear his soft whisper. And listen to what the Lord says to Elijah. "Go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Mehelah, as prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. And I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." Three things that God says to Elijah that I want to leave with you today, and the worship team can come and join me back here on the platform. As I was praying earlier, I felt in my spirit that there was those here today that need to be reminded of these very simple three things. You've been going through a storm, and the noise of the storm has flattened you. And God, by his Spirit, wants to remind you, number one, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God tells Elijah that he does not have to worry about his enemies, that they will be taken care of. And the first thing God wants to say to you, men, dads, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their voices. God's got your back. Secondly, God tells Elijah to get an apprentice, someone who would take over the ministry once Elijah was done. He's saying and reminding Elijah, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. I want to speak especially to those, my elders here today. I'm very close to being at that age of being an elder. But my brothers and sisters, God's not finished with you. God still has a purpose, and that purpose may just well involve pouring in to the lives of the next generation of leaders that God is going to raise up in this church. Don't be afraid. You have a purpose. And finally, God reminds Elijah he is not alone. He's not alone. He's part of a great family. And God wants to say to someone here today, do not be afraid of what you're facing. God has called you and given you a purpose to fulfill. He has your back. You're not alone in this. You are part of a great family of God. Stand tall, move forward, be comforted, and go in faith. God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me every day. He's speaking right now. right where you are. He may speak in extraordinary ways through angels, a loud voice, or through the miraculous. But we're going to take time to allow God by His Spirit to speak to us in that gentle, quiet voice. With every head bowed and eye closed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just right where you are. Whatever it is that's burdening you today, just give it, let Him know. Speak it out. He already knows. He's not surprised. And He still loves you. And just simply ask, Lord, Your servant is listening. Will You speak to me? It may be in a single word. It may be in a picture. It may be a name of someone He wants you to call. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I'd like us all to stand. I'd like us to do something that I shared earlier today. One of the reasons why I do this is because of what happened with us in Kingston. I'm going to invite us just to take a few moments to turn in prayer circles and let's pray for one another. Catherine, would you just, and team, just play a song quietly on the piano?